The FDA is raising concerns about how dozens of new drugs were tested in China, how that could impact plans to sell them here in the U.S.
It's quite possible that they'll have to run new studies that test the drug in the U.S. or in multiple countries before they can get FDA approval.
And how financial regulators want to expand oversight of private equity and hedge funds. Plus, there's plenty of coffee, but not enough cups. It's Wednesday, February 9th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Biden administration has approved plans to help Americans get out of Ukraine if Russian troops invade the country. Officials say U.S. troops being deployed to Poland will set up checkpoints, tent camps, and other facilities inside Poland's border with Ukraine. They'll help provide logistical support to coordinate evacuations if necessary. Officials say some 30,000 Americans are in Ukraine and that some of them, as well as Ukrainians, would likely want to flee quickly if Russia attacks. Russia has been amassing tens of thousands of troops along the Ukrainian border, but says it does not plan to invade the country. U.S. financial regulators are proposing new disclosure rules for private investment funds. The proposal from the Securities and Exchange Commission would require hedge funds and private equity funds to provide investors with quarterly statements on fund performance, fees, expenses, and manager compensation. They'd also have to undergo annual audits. The proposal is part of the SEC's broader efforts to expand oversight of private funds, which SEC Chair Gary Gensler says hold more than $18 trillion of gross assets. Microsoft executives are promising that the company's proposed video game app store would operate by open market principles. It's part of an effort to get regulators on board with the company's $75 billion acquisition of Activision Blizzard, which Microsoft announced last month. The deal, which is subject to regulatory approval, would help bolster Microsoft's subscription gaming service Game Pass, which offers users a catalog of games for a monthly fee. With Activision, Microsoft would get access to hugely popular franchises such as Call of Duty and World of Warcraft. The open market principles Microsoft executives touted today are a response to concerns raised by developers and lawmakers who say app stores like Apple's take an unreasonable cut of digital revenue and stifle competition. Our tech policy reporter Ryan Tracy says Microsoft is trying to work with the Federal Trade Commission, not against it.
Microsoft's message to regulators is that this deal would not hurt competition, you know, that they would be still in a very competitive market after the deal closes. And also that, you know, consumers and game developers would have more choice, more options in a world where Microsoft makes this deal. Because Microsoft is saying, we're going to have a video game marketplace where any developer can come and offer a game, and consumers are going to have all these choices on this marketplace. So a big part of this is trying to make regulators feel like the world after this deal will be as good or even a better world than the one we're currently in.
The FTC is still reviewing the deal. According to our reporting, the agency will be looking at whether it could reduce competition in the gaming market. New York State is dropping its indoor mask mandate for businesses effective on Thursday when the current rule expires. The state will still require masks in healthcare settings and on public transportation. Governor Kathy Hochul says the government will assess its policy on masks in schools in March, as well as review infection and hospitalization rates.
It would be negligent on our part not to be watching closely what is happening elsewhere as we calculate the best way to keep our children in school and safe.
New York joins other states, including Massachusetts and California, that are allowing some mask rules to expire this month. The number of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. has been declining after a winter surge. In earnings news, CVS says it expects the pandemic-induced sales boost to taper off this year. The retail pharmacy reported a 13.4% increase in same-store sales in the latest quarter compared to a year earlier. Vaccinations, in-store testing, and take-home tests accounted for about 35% of operating profit for CVS's retail segment in the fourth quarter. And posting earnings after the bell, Walt Disney said subscriptions to its streaming service Disney Plus rose faster than expected to nearly 130 million. The world's largest entertainment company reported $21.82 billion in revenue for the quarter, as well as record revenue and operating income at its domestic parks and resorts. Uber said revenue climbed 83% last quarter from a year earlier, helped by a recovery in its rides business and continued appetite for food delivery, despite restaurant reopenings. For the full year, revenue rose 57%, and the company trimmed its net loss to $496 million from $6.77 billion in 2020, helped by cost-cutting measures and exiting some money-losing businesses. Meanwhile, rival Lyft's stock rose 6.8% today after it said last night that fourth quarter revenue grew 70% and it posted record revenue per active rider. And we report exclusively that Barry Diller's Media Group will cease publication of six magazines it acquired when it bought Meredith Corp last year. Entertainment Weekly, In Style, and Eat Well are among the publications that will go digital only. The April issues will be their final print editions, according to a memo sent to staff that was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. The change will mean about 200 job losses. Coming up, why U.S. regulators are raising concerns about how some drugs have been tested in China.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Plans to bring dozens of drugs developed in China to market here in the U.S. may have hit a snag. U.S. regulators are expressing concerns about studies conducted in China to assess the drugs. That could jeopardize plans by Western drug makers, including Eli Lilly and Novartis, who were anticipating the drugs would bring in potential sales in the billions of dollars. For more on why regulators are concerned and whether this marks a shift in their approach is Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus. Hi, Peter. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Peter, start by telling us what specifically U.S. regulators are concerned about when it comes to drugs developed in China. What have you heard from the FDA about their concerns?
What they're concerned about are potential new drugs that are tested in clinical trials only in China or predominantly in China. And the reason they're concerned about that is that FDA feels that the results of those studies to see if a drug is safe and effective might not be enough to support its use in the U.S. For one thing, there might be differences in medical care between the U.S. and China that could affect the outcome of a clinical trial. And there could be biological or genetic differences in the populations in terms of how people process the same drug. And another thing is just the design of some of the clinical trials that have been run in China. They're not necessarily comparing the experimental drug directly with a similar drug, say for type of cancer, that's already on the market in the U.S. So there are a number of concerns that the FDA has about these drugs.
So, Peter, does this signal sort of a shift in direction in terms of the scrutiny U.S. regulators are putting Chinese drug makers under, or was this sort of always the case? Have concerns like this been raised before?
I don't think it was always the case. This seems to be a newer concern, or at least a change in tone or a change in emphasis. Because a few years ago, one of the top FDA officials who is in charge of reviewing cancer drugs had made some comments publicly that at least were perceived by the drug industry as welcoming the idea that you could test a drug only in China and still get it approved in the U.S. Now, that FDA official says that those comments, or at least that interpretation, was not what he intended. But it's really just in the past several months where the FDA has been more vocal about expressing concerns about these types of drugs that were primarily or only tested in China.
How does the process usually work when U.S. regulators vet drugs from other countries for use here in the U.S.?
Sometimes these drugs, they are later tested in the U.S. population or in another Western country that might have more of similar demographics. And so, for instance, there is another cancer therapy from Johnson & Johnson that was developed by a Chinese company and it was tested there. But J&J also ran additional studies of the drug in the U.S. And so that may not face the same concerns as some of these other drugs. The FDA does allow approval of a drug based solely on foreign clinical trials, but only under certain conditions, such as if the FDA can validate the data through an in-person inspection of the clinical site in the other country.
So these concerns that U.S. regulators are expressing could complicate plans for some U.S. drug makers hoping to bring Chinese drugs to the U.S. market. What can you tell us about how this is potentially upending plans for U.S. drug makers?
We'll get a better idea of that on Thursday, because an FDA advisory committee of outside doctors and experts are meeting to consider the evidence for a proposed new lung cancer drug that was co-developed by Eli Lilly, which is based in the U.S., and a Chinese company called Innovent. And the main study for this drug was conducted in China. And the FDA has already said in documents that were released this week that the results of that study aren't really applicable to a U.S. population. So there's already signs that that drug may face an uphill battle getting approved. And then that, in turn, would send a broader signal to the industry about what they need to do to actually get FDA approval for drugs developed in China.
So what could happen next regarding the studies by Chinese drug makers? Might U.S. regulators require them to then expand their testing to get approval in the U.S.?
It's quite possible that they'll have to run new studies that test the drug in the U.S. or in multiple countries before they can get FDA approval. And that could push back by a couple of years the introduction of some of these drugs for use in the U.S.
Relations between China and the U.S. are already pretty tense due to a host of issues. How might this complicate the relationship between the two countries?
Well, it could complicate things if Chinese leaders view this as an affront to their biotech industry. This is an industry that the country's leaders have made a priority as far as investing in and nurturing. And so if they view this as sort of a type of excessive restraint on that industry by the American government, yeah, certainly that could fuel complications in the relationship. But I would point out that the FDA official who's been talking the most about this, he wasn't really saying it's a China-only issue. It would apply to any drug that's tested only in a single foreign country. It just so happens that there's a bigger pipeline of these coming from China than from other countries. And so that's why China is in that spotlight. I do think the FDA views this as more of a scientific and regulatory issue, not necessarily as a geopolitical one or a national competitiveness issue. But certainly given that context, this particular issue might complicate those things.
That's Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus. Peter, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
And finally, continued supply chain backups, storms, and unfilled paper mill jobs have put restaurants around the country in a predicament. They're running out of their branded to-go cups. That includes everyone from local eateries to national chains like Starbucks. Here's our reporter, Stephen Council.
Branded cups work as this sort of mobile billboard for businesses and marketers. So they're really sad that they have to give that up in some cases now because of the cup shortage, whether that's because of a lack of ink or paper or plastic. And in some cases, they're swapping cups with other establishments. In some cases, they're trying to order unbranded cups at high prices from stores like Sam's Club or Amazon. They're kind of just scrambling to make ends meet and just try to get their drinks out the door any way they can.
Which could explain why we're seeing those holiday-themed Starbucks cups all the way into February. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.